Good morning. Welcome to Concordia. Please sign the attendance pads that are found at the end of the pew in the center aisle. I want to highlight a few announcements for you. Today there's a community meal. Starts at 4 o'clock, serving from 4 to 6. We want to thank Louise Inge for the flowers on the altar. Next Sunday, Michelle Hopp will be preaching. If anyone is interested in being the liturgist, contact Pastor Doris. Sunday, July 2nd, this service will be at the Whitwind Tabernacle. There will not be services here at Concordia. There's a 9:30 coffee and donut fellowship, and at 10 o'clock, there's a guest speaker at Whitwind Tabernacle. There will be carpooling, so my understanding is that somebody will contact you if you are interested in carpooling. We are in charge of the Sauk Prairie Food Pantry next Saturday, June 17th, from 9 to 11:15. If you are able to work, please contact Chris Davis. She's lining up the helpers for that. We need like 7 to 8 people to help distribute food and help the people carry the food out to their cars. So that's next Saturday. Please join me in the praise that's printed in your bulletin. God is with us right here and now. We open our lives to our Creator. God cares for us and gives us glory. We open our hearts to our Creator. God appoints us keepers of the earth. We dedicate ourselves to our Creator. Remain seated and sing Grace Alone, found in the Black Book 2162. Please stand and join in the prayer that's printed in the bulletin. Wonderful, amazing God, we gather as those who have caught a glimpse of your glory and goodness. Your love has surrounded us from our birth and drawn us to yourself. Thank you for calling us into this community of faith. Help us to love you, one another,
and the world with the love revealed to us in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please remain standing, and the next hymn will be 2172 in the Black Book.
Are there any young ones? I do not see any.
Our first scripture this morning is from Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "An authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age."
Thank you.
The Old Testament reading today is from Psalms 8. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens, out of the mouths of babes and infants. You have founded a bulwark because of your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Today is Trinity Sunday. We celebrate the Trinity. It's kind of lost on the liturgical calendar of the church because it does not rise up to how we celebrate Easter or Christmas. Seeing that there wasn't a children's sermon this morning, I just want to inform some men that have put a time limit on me that I now have 10 more minutes to... But today we acknowledge God as our incomprehensible mystery of love. Love far beyond our ability to grasp. And without the Trinity, our Christian lives make little sense. I learned in preparing this that the formal church doctrine for the Trinity really didn't happen until like the 14th century. Even though the scripture that Emily read, the Great Commission, mentions Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the psalmist who wrote Psalms 8 thousands of years ago, long before Matthew's gospel, points to the God of love and wonder. 2 weeks ago, we had Confirmation Sunday, and we confirmed five young ladies, and we had a baptism, and we took some new members into the church. And if you will recall, the liturgy that we used out of the red hymnal is part of our formal church doctrine dealing with the Trinity. And last week, we celebrated Pentecost, and that was the receiving of the Holy Spirit. But for this Sunday's celebration of the Trinity, four biblical passages were suggested, and I chose to use Psalm 8 and the Great Commission from Matthew 28. Thomas Long talks about near comic irony of the Great Commission that you just heard from Matthew. The setting of this does not support the message that Jesus is delivering. And so he throws out a hypothetical setting which makes his words more believable. And it really struck me and hit home, and I'd like to share that those two images with you, kind of embellishing the one. But all of you have seen the inauguration of a president after he's been sworn in, and he's giving his inaugural speech on the steps of the Capitol, and a camera view from behind him maybe will show you what he's looking at. And there's a huge crowd. Throngs of people as far as you can see in the distance. This would be kind of believable for what he says, because he says to his disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And can you visualize this? Jesus standing there on the steps of the Capitol with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir softly in the background singing the Hallelujah Chorus. But what's more incredible about this message is what he goes on to say. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." But the real setting in which this takes place, it's on an unnamed mountain in the backwaters of Galilee, and the congregation he's speaking to is 11, down from 12 the week before. They have gone through an incredible week. They have witnessed a crucifixion. They're confused, they're disoriented, and they do not know if they even can believe. And some of the feelings that we probably brought into this sanctuary this morning among some of us are probably some of the same feelings that these 11 were feeling. Detached, isolated, alone, angry, deserted, depressed, grieving, hopeless, fearful, anxious, wounded, ashamed, tired. I'm sure some of us brought some of those feelings to church with us. And those 11 people, after that incredible week that they had been through, were feeling those. And this Thomas Long says, telling those 11 confused and disoriented men to go make disciples of all nations, and he says not nation states, but all people, all tribes of all the world, and point them to Mount Zion, is an impossible task for them. He says it's like Jesus telling our congregation or the congregations of the 21st century, where we have small congregations with mixed motives and uncertain convictions, telling us to cure cancer, clean up the environment, evangelize the unbelieving, and establish world peace. What makes us so much like those 11 men centuries ago is that it's utterly impossible for us and for them, and it throws us onto the strength and mercy of God. All authority does not belong to the church or its resources, but comes from God's wild investment in his Son and his Son's promise to be with the church in the form of the Holy Spirit to the end of time. So we are not powerless in the world. We are not disconnected from the omnipotent. God is creator, or the redeeming work of God in the human flesh, or from the same God in the Holy Spirit who is among us and within us and sometimes even outside of us. This is a tremendous gift to celebrate for those of us who are feeling the same way that those 11 disciples did centuries ago. Disciples are students, and students are like interns, and we all know what interns do. Interns watch by practicing, they're under supervision, they ask questions, they make mistakes, and hopefully they learn from their mistakes. And so our job as a church is to make students of Christ, to make internships. We can only hope that the confirmands of this year from 2 weeks ago are going to be lifelong students of Christ. and hopefully Concordia's investment in those young ladies, that we have done enough, because it's up to the Holy Spirit and if we have planted the seeds. It's a lifelong learning process, and sometimes not just the United Methodist Church, but all denominations and Catholics alike place so much emphasis on our church membership, we become consumed by that. But does that become our substitution for discipleship? We are immersed into the fullness of God through our baptism. So Trinity Sunday is really a big deal. It's who we are, and it's what makes Christians different from all of the other religions of the world. So where do we go from here? We take a fragmented Sauk Prairie, a fragmented faith, and a fragmented understanding of the divine in three persons, and we go into the world with everything that Jesus has taught us. So where does Psalm 8 that I told you was written so many years before the Great Commission, where does that fit in? We all need to think about this. The psalmist, thousands of years ago, in this poem, is marveling at the wonders of God's creation. And just think of how primitive his understanding of creation would be compared to what we know now. He did not have a Hubble telescope. And what's so incredible is that with all of this knowledge, we can still wonder at the creation of God's marvelous work. I heard that they're building a 124-foot diameter telescope that's going to be completed in Chile by 2024. In my lifetime, the planets in our solar system is different than what I was taught when I was in school. We are learning about new constellations, new galaxies, and it goes on and on. So whether we are looking at the big thing through a telescope or whether we are looking at things that the human eye can't see through a microscope, or whether you're looking at the iris bloom in your garden, or experiencing the mountains or the oceans, or maybe you're looking into the eye of a stranger and getting a glimpse of the divine. But sadly to say, the opposite could occur, that maybe with all of our wealth and our comfort and our knowledge, we have lost all ability to experience wonder. And that is sad. I often wonder about when I hear in the news about the civil wars raging or the concrete jungles of the inner city where drugs and guns seem to prevail, or where in third world countries men are given arms before they're even men. How can they experience the wonder of God's creation, and how can they feel a closeness to their Creator? Secondly, the psalmist contemplates humanity and where humanity fits into God's creation. He says, why us with human consciousness? Why are we conscious of our existence compared to other creatures, aware of our mortality? We have a sense of our individual selves. Why this uniqueness for us? A Viktor Frankl, in his book, Man's Search for Meaning, says all human beings search for meaning and purpose in their lives, and those questions follow us all the days of our life on earth. We cannot escape it. But he says there is one thing that cannot be taken away from us, and that is our ability to choose our attitude. No matter what circumstances we find ourselves in, We have ability to transcend ourselves. And that's what makes us just a little lower than the divine. We were created in God's likeness to be stewards, not owners, of God's creation. We are to be co-creators and co-workers in this unfinished creation. If we abdicate our closeness to the fullness of God, lesser gods with a lowercase g, not a capital G, will fill in the emptiness in us. And we can go on and list, all of us, what those lesser gods are. Is it money? Is it our status in society? Is it power, fame, the stock market? Is it our political persuasion, whether I'm a conservative or a liberal? Yes, even farming can be a lesser god. But I believe Psalm 8, the beauty of it is it gives us as individuals a way to maintain our closeness to God so we can find ourselves, find our answers to ourselves and for ourselves. And they are the gifts of wonder and the gift of gratitude from a loving God. Sounds simple. Two simple things to remember, gratitude and wonder. But it's not so simple to develop, or it's not that simple always to apply. If you look for the divine daily, by looking for things to be thankful for and to treat God's creation, whether it's you're talking about our environment or whether you're talking about the human family, with a sense of wonder, the Holy Spirit will give meaning to your life as a co-creator in a creation not yet finished. And so if all of this happened, this wonderful, if we were all thankful every day and treated life with wonder, what would things look like at Concordia? Or how would things look in the world? Well, for one thing, we'd be creating disciples, not just members. We'd be creating students and lifelong internships. Ministers would be able to preach from the pulpit about the injustices that they see without fear of offending and losing members because of positions because politicians have divided and defined who we are. The Nurture Committee and the Church Council and those of us who do not teach Sunday school would probably be more interested in the curriculum of our young people. And just maybe the Disciple Bible study that's to occur on Thursdays this summer, maybe we'd find that we hadn't ordered enough study manuals. But you can go on and come up with your own list. So let us go into the world as with a sense of gratitude and thankfulness, with an understanding of the wonder of God's creation, so that we can become co-creators and co-workers with God to carry out His will, which is to work for justice and peace, and defeating evil and all of its injustices. And if we can exhibit the image of the divine in our human existence, we will have succeeded at being disciples for Christ. Amen. I would call on the ushers at this time to come forward for a morning offering. Would you pray with me in unison? Lord, bless these gifts that they may be used for ministries of compassion. Bless these people gathered here, bringing their gifts and their lives in service to you, for we offer ourselves and our gifts to you. Amen. You may be seated. I did not see any blue prayer requests cards in the offering plates. Are there any other prayer requests? If not, let us pray. Lord, listen to your children praying. Creating and loving God, for the wonder of your works and for the wonder of ourselves, we thank you. We thank you for creating us in your image, being able to transcend ourselves by choosing an attitude of gratitude and wonder. We thank you for entrusting with us the care of your creation. Make us always mindful of the responsibility of being good stewards. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit and the feeling of being connected to you, our Creator. We thank you for the freedom to worship you without fear of persecution. We thank you for this congregation of believers. May we find strength and comfort as we help one another find meaning and purpose. We pray for those of your creation who have become victims of terrorism. May the survivors of such violent acts find the means to forgive, and may you, in your comprehensible way, show humanity its errant ways. Where humanity does not reflect your image and lesser gods reign, grant us the means to be your hands and feet. Be with the political leaders of all nations. Grant them wisdom, understanding, humility, and a vision of the common good. And closer to home, we pray for the victims of the explosion in Cambria. May this tragedy bring this community closer to each other, and may your love and presence be very real to them. We ask that a caring healthcare system can deliver your healing powers to people everywhere in need of healing of body and mind. Show us new ways of making disciples and stewards of your creation, and may we pray together the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, our closing hymn is hymn number 2153 in the Black Hymnal. May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors.